global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. The Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ all declining on this final trading day of the month. Turned out to be a losing month for the S&P 500 index after 2 weeks of advances. The S&P 500 index down 15 points to head into March at 1932, a drop today of 0.8%. NASDAQ down 32, a drop there of 0.7%. Dow Industrials down 123 points, a drop there of 0.7%. Gold up 19.30 the ounce to 12.3970 for gold. That was an advance today of 1.6%. And crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, up 3.3%, 33.87 on WTI, a gain there of $1.09. Brent crude up 2.5%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Kathleen Hayes on Bloomberg Radio.
Apple and the FBI. In testimony released ahead of an anticipated congressional hearing, Apple's chief attorney has argued that helping unlock an iPhone used by a San Bernardino terrorist will ultimately create more crime. And Cyrus Vance, New York prosecutor, said that the company's devices were beyond the law. Let's find out more from Ambassador Lincoln Bloomfield. He is the chairman of the Stimson Center. He formerly led U.S. international cybersecurity policy efforts, and he was the Federal International Traffic in Arms Regulations Regulator as Assistant Secretary of State from 2001 to 2005. And he joins us now from Washington, D.C., home to Bloomberg 99.1 FM and 105.7 FM HD2. Ambassador Bloomfield, thank you very much for being with us. Is Apple in the right, or will they ultimately have to figure out a way to break the encryption of their phones?
Well, Tim, both sides have a lot of right, and both sides are wrong if they make this an all or nothing, one side wins, one side loses proposition, because it would be a shame if this shooter in the San Bernardino case and a few others who are in the realm of sort of terrorist actions, if we could exploit that data and find out who they were talking to, who they knew. That would be extremely valuable from a law enforcement and counterterrorism standpoint. But by the same token, everyone who owns a smartphone, particularly an iPhone, would have to wonder if they thought that the keys were out there and that, or that one person could be coerced into handing over the keys from industry. That would be very tempting for authoritarian governments to say, if you want to keep selling $60 billion a year in my country, you need to help. Just give me the keys and I'll be looking into, you know, millions of phones from dissidents and people who are exercising their privacy. So I think there's a lot to lose by letting one side win it all, which is why I tried to split the difference and try to show some kind of a middle ground, which where neither side controlled the outcome 100%.
Well, so tell us exactly what that is.
Well, I'm not the world's expert, but I've been in Washington long enough to know that on cybersecurity, for example, when the White House called in industry to start cooperating on cybersecurity, they knew that the banks, the financial markets, the insurance companies, the telecoms, they own their own data. They own their own databases. The government does not own that information. So they had to work with industry. And that's the starting point. The government cannot control this process. They need a court order, it seems to me. We have warrants before they can search your house. We have a FISA court before they can wiretap. So there needs to be two branches of government that say this is necessary. And then I think that, and this is the unusual part, the government should hand over the keys to their code-breaking technology to industry. Leave it inside Apple. They should give industry the FBI's code-breaking capability and then put that capability, the ability to run thousands and millions of numbers at high speed, put that under a federal regulation called ITAR. I was the arms regulator. You're not allowed to let strangers come in and see that technology. They can't come in the room. If anyone else is going to see it or use it, you can't export it. You have to have a State Department license. So that was an attempt to try to control the federal government's piece of this. And then I didn't write this, but maybe there's a way to do a binary code so that, you know, the person who knows the whole government code hands that over to Apple But you don't have one individual who knows the entire key, because that could put that person at some risk. The idea is to try to split this up so that the government has to do things that other governments like Iran and China and Russia might not be willing to do. In other words, to hand over their technology to an American company, to hand over telephones to an American company so they could see who they're spying on. That's what I was trying to get at. Because if you unlock these phones, and if that does get out there, here's where I agree with Apple, there's going to be millions of people in authoritarian countries who will now be easier to spy on. And we'll be right back into the old, bad old days of the Soviet Union, where people are reading everything that they see and do. And that's not a world we want to live in.
Ambassador Bloomfield, does mobile encryption in and of itself jeopardize law enforcement? That's a statement from James Comey, the director of the FBI.
If you're the FBI director, you're in charge of security in America, and I have huge respect for Director Comey. He's a terrific public servant, and so I have nothing bad to say about him. If they can't ever get inside a telephone that a terrorist is using, that's pretty darn important. So I see where he's coming from. He's not in charge of the rest of the world. And if you mobile encryption is what keeps the Syrian resistance alive. It's what keeps Chinese dissidents from being knocked on the door and dragged off to the gallows, and the same in Iran. So I think it cuts both ways. And I think that these devices are empowering to the masses. And they certainly showed what they can do in Tunisia and Egypt and the Arab Spring and demonstrations in Ukraine and Hong Kong. We've seen this. So if you're going to go with the tide of history, you're empowering citizens. And I think America stands on that side. So it's a really tough question. We need to give Director Comey what was inside that phone, but we can't just let loose the genie out of the bottle, as Mr. Cook is saying. Can't do that, because the real losers will be champions of freedom on the streets all around the world.
Well, let's hope that as this matter is taken up again in Washington tomorrow between Apple and the FBI, that those kinds of ideas and that vision of a point where maybe there is compromise and both sides win is what comes to the table. Very happy to be joined today by Ambassador Lincoln Bloomfield, chairman of the Stimson Center in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining us today. We also thank Reggie Bazile, our technical director, our show producer, Samara Langa, for putting it all together. Kathleen Hayes, Pim Fox, Taking Stock, Bloomberg Radio.
Coming up on Bloomberg Law, a discussion about a Supreme Court case that will decide whether a Pennsylvania judge should recuse himself from a case in which he was previously a prosecutor. That's next.